Lord, we just pray now that as we gather here as your people in your house, Lord, that you would be with us, that, Lord, I would disappear, I would diminish, and that you would come forward. May I speak the words that you have given to us, Lord, through your word. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you take out your worship folders, you will see that I do have a title for the message. It was called Superior to Angels. But, you know, as I've been working on it, it probably should be something different. Well, you know, keeping with the school theme, maybe we should call it Angelology 101. Because I'll tell you what, nothing I have done is ever, I never thought I would spend so much time reading about angels. Now, there is, we're going to see, there's a whole lot of things we can think about angels, but the Bible is very specific about what it teaches about angels. So let's go ahead and let's look at our passage. And our passage is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and we are looking at verses 4 through 14. And you can see that Annette was helping me out this week. This one up here is no, and downstairs is no, but the ones on the side are the ones that I'm supposed to use. So let's see how it works. Superior to the angels, Hebrews 1, 4 through 14. Having become much superior to angels, as the name he was inherited is more excellent than theirs, for to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Set at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" That is the word of the Lord as found in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. The last 2 weeks we have started our journey through the book of Hebrews, and as we were doing so, we were talking about first comparing Jesus to the prophets. The prophets had a great history to the people of Israel and to the Jewish religion. And so the writer of Hebrews sought to look at the prophets, but as a means of showing how Jesus was to be elevated above them, that he was better than the prophets. To us, as Christians, we do understand this because in the book of Matthew in chapter 16, we find a statement where Jesus is walking with his disciples to Caesarea, he's in Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them this question, "Who do people say that I am?" And they reply, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So it wasn't a very difficult stretch for a Jewish person to see Jesus, to understand his teaching, and to see him as another prophet in the long line of prophets of Israel. And many people thought that. It's easy to see Jesus as a good teacher, as a person that is speaking the word of the Lord. The problem, though, is that Jesus left us no ground to stand there. He didn't take and say, "I am just a good teacher." He didn't say, "I am just a prophet." For when he said to Peter, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" He puts a very strong exclamation point on it, and he wipes out all other ground. Peter, we know, replies, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That is verse 16 in Matthew 16. Jesus says, "You are right." He doesn't say, "No, I'm no, Peter, you're wrong. I'm a prophet. I'm just a teacher." He says, "No, you're right. I am the Son of God. I am the Christ." Now we come to a passage which we just finished looking at, and we are struck with a little bit of an issue. Because I think that as we think about evangelical Christians and the way we perceive angels and the way we think about angels, I would say that we spend very little time talking about them. I was thinking about this, and I think the best way to really think about it is that if we were giving out awards, they would be the supporting actors. We see them in so many of our stories, but they're not the main characters. They're not the ones that draw our attention to them. We see the Word of God. We don't really see them bringing the Word of God. We see the Word of God. They are mentioned over 250 times throughout Scripture. 100 times in the Old Testament, and 150 times in the New Testament. God doesn't send us a word so that we ignore it. He brings it for us to understand and to see, and so we need to understand that. And as we look at this passage and we think about angels and what we perceive to understand about angels, we have a problem. We don't really know much about them because we've never really talked about them. We see them, we maybe talk about them at Christmas time when we tell the Christmas story, but we go right on by. So I think before we get really into this, I think we need to talk about angels. How many of you guys know him? That's Clarence the angel. Or maybe the younger people, not too young, but maybe some of the younger people know the people at the bottom. But you know, when you think about it, here is a very common representation of what angels are. They are some ethereal thing wearing white robes with a harp, and they've got long hair, and there's a glow around them, and they're just so sweet. They're so lovely. You just kind of, it's kind of like a puppy or a warm blanket or something. C.S. Lewis, in his letter, in his great book, Screwtape Letters, complains about the distorted